Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is Cody, joined once again by my co-host, James, on this fine nothing Friday. It's actually New Year's Eve. But
it's New Year's Eve.
There's nothing going on Steeler related. Like, this isn't like a loss or a win or a whatever at all like that. But how are you doing, James? How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm even feeling more guilty about not asking how you were the last episode.
As you should.
But I'm going to get that right on our next recording. Next show will be probably Tuesday, not Monday, due to the fact that it'll be a Monday night game. We can't really record on it during the game. And there's no way in hell we're staying up till 3 a.m. to record one. Sorry. We love you guys, just not that much.
No, if we didn't have to get up for work on Tuesday at like 3:30 in the morning, we
yeah, dude. If this was our only job, absolutely, I'd stay up and record that podcast. But it's not.
Yeah, not yet. We're getting there.
Hell yeah, we will.
One day, we will be solely bringing you guys episodes, 30-minute episodes a day, 25-minute episodes a day. We'll make sure you guys are in the now, in the know, and understand what's
happening. 5 days a week,
maybe 6. Well, we might have to do like so. Anyways, we'd have to take a day off during the week because you can't take a freaking Sunday off or like a you got to do something after the
game. Oh, nobody records on Sunday, man.
Oh, we'd record on Sunday. Halftime shows every week. Anyways, first thing in the news is not Steeler related and is not Steeler by the Lake related. We have some sad news of the passing of an all-time legend coach, John Madden. John Madden passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 85, unexpectedly. I haven't seen anything to label a cause or anything like that personally. I don't know if you have, James.
I have not, no.
But John Madden being the most, still the most winning percentage head coach, right, in NFL history?
You know, I don't know anything about his winning percentage. I know that he was an excellent coach. And what many people are going to remember him for is not necessarily his coaching career or even his commentating career as much as it is the Madden franchise of video games. Nobody says, hey, I'm going to go play the football video game. They all say, I'm going to go play Madden.
I'm going to go play Madden.
So him putting his stamp on that, putting his face on that, and his, more importantly, probably his voice on it, revolutionized the video game industry and really cornered the market for a very long time. He was a tremendous coach. I thought he was an amazing commentator. I absolutely loved watching games that John Madden was the color commentary guy for, because he never knew when he was going to boom and there's a trap here. And just the way he described the game, he could make the most boring play sound incredibly exciting. And I absolutely loved it. And I love the way that he break down a play and make it sound so simple. And a lot of people would try to downplay it and say, John Madden doesn't even know football. John Madden knew more about football than most of us could hope to learn in 10 lifetimes.
Yeah,
he was incredibly knowledgeable when it came to football. But he was so skilled at breaking it down at a base level so even the common person that doesn't watch football very often could understand it. That's one of the things I absolutely loved about him.
Yeah, so the football world, the video game world, as weird as that sounds to say right now, is it's all mourning the loss of a great coach, a great man, and a great, just a great mind. The things that he did, yeah. The things that he came up with, and his the commentary that he had was phenomenal. I never got to, I got to hear a very short amount of him live before he retired. However, hearing him on Madden every year was always a fun time.
I do remember somebody saying recently that the last game that he actually commentated was the Steelers Super Bowl win.
It turned out to be Steelers news, guys. Turned out to be Steelers news. So again, our prayers and thoughts go out to his family and all of Absolutely. His loved ones for sure. But now it's time for Steelers news. We have the protected list. So Steelers did protect Rashard Coward, John Simon, who we talked about before, Khalil Davis, and running back Trace. Oh, we already talked about this.
No. We knew it was about to happen. It happened like an hour after we recorded our show on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. We thought for sure it was going to happen. But my favorite news is the next news.
Yeah. Let's talk about it, man. You know what's been going on.
You tell them. I'm excited.
You know, there's been a wave of practice squad wide receivers going on the COVID list. And that has happened. Again,
not what I was excited about, just to clarify.
Well, no, that's exactly what it is, though.
I mean, yes
it's
and
happened
no.
because of that.
Yes.
So the Steelers placed wide receiver Tyler Vaughns on injured reserve from the practice squad. There's probably two or three other practice squad wide receivers on the COVID list these days. Because of this, the Steelers restored the contract of Rico Bussey Jr., Cody's boy from the pre-draft process.
Let's go.
Out of Hawaii University.
I want him to play. He's
back from the injured reserve onto the practice squad. So Rico Bussey Jr. could be elevated. You never know. We'll find out Saturday who Pittsburgh elevates. I'm sure there will be some elevations due to the fact that there are some guys on COVID still. And why not take advantage of it, get as many healthy bodies up to the 53 as you can. And Tomlin seems to be using this as an opportunity to give some auditions to some of these guys too. John Simon played a decent amount of snaps in that last game and didn't look bad. So it'll be interesting to see who else gets brought into the mix. I think Trey Edmonds, honestly, is more of a special teams move than anything else.
Oh, very, very much.
Because he's really good on kick coverage and punt coverage.
Yep.
So that's a guy that could replace a linebacker on your kick coverage unit. And with a few of them being out still, that's probably why.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. So we talked about Tyler Vaughn. Thursday, Arthur Millette was added to the COVID list and Marcus Allen was taken off of it. So good news for Marcus Allen, who's the hybrid safety, middle linebacker, hybrid player, typically comes in the dime formation and plays a little bit of middle linebacker or down safety, whatever you want to call it. I don't even freaking know.
Yeah, I think he's more middle linebacker than he is safety now.
Yeah. So that was that with the COVID list stuff. Unfortunately, Hines Ward was left off of this year's 2022 Hall of Fame finalist list, which was unfortunate. Huh? Boo. Dumb. Don't like that call at all.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Hines was no surefire first ballot guy. He's already been to the semifinalist list like five or six times. So this year was no different. But we decided to do a little bit deeper dive into it, get behind the numbers a little bit, and see what's holding them back. We're not including Devin Hester in this list because we believe that Devin Hester is a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame. This is his first attempt at it. And it has nothing to do with his receiving capabilities and everything to do with the fact that he had dang near 30 touchdowns on kick and punt returns in the course of his career. Yep. And is the best return man the NFL has ever seen. And there is not a close second one when it comes to that. There just isn't. You know, probably the closest was Josh Cribbs, and I don't think he got past 13 or 14 touchdowns. Yeah. So
a lot of people,
twice as productive.
A lot of people would argue
Dante Hall, maybe?
Well, Dante Hall, but a lot of people would also argue Deion Sanders, which I don't think that's true. Deion Sanders was more of a – he could make something happen out of an interception, but he had nowhere near the numbers with kick and punt return.
Yeah, and I think he did more punt return and not so much on kick return.
Yeah.
Just because you're not as likely to take as huge of a devastating hit from a linebacker on your kick return.
Oh, yeah. Back then it was
it's a little
wild.
More likely on kick. Yeah, a little more likely on kick, a little less likely on punt, a little easier to avoid.
Yeah.
So that's what we got on that, but the so we got a little breakdown here for you guys. Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, and Reggie Wayne were the three pure wide receivers that made the finalist list. The finalist list is only 10 guys. So you add them and Devin Hester, it's technically four wide receivers. But you'll see why we believe Hines was left off, but also why we believe there's a really good argument for Hines in the future. First guy, Torrey Holt, had 920 career receptions, 13,382 career receiving yards, 74 touchdowns, 7 Pro Bowls, and 1 first team All Pro. So pretty tremendous career. That's the most Pro Bowls of any of these four guys. And he had a very high yards per reception average. Had one Super Bowl appearance over the course of his career, and I do believe that was a win for them.
Correct.
Andre Johnson, the second guy on the list, had 1,062 career receptions, 14,185 yards, 70 touchdowns, 6 Pro Bowls, and 2 first team All Pros. He's probably getting pumped up a little bit from the Pro Bowls and All Pros there.
Yep. Never made it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Never made it to a Super Bowl. So that's not in his statistics. You want to cover Reggie Wayne and Hines for us, Cody?
Yeah. So Reggie Wayne had a total of 1,070 receptions. For a total of 14,345 yards and 82 touchdowns. He also went to 6 Pro Bowls and had 1 first team All Pro. Now, he also did make it to 1 Super Bowl and win 1 Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and the Colts. I believe that was against the Bears.
Against the Bears, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When Devin Hester, who returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And then you also have the stats for Hines Ward. So Hines Ward had 1,000 receiving yards, or excuse me, 1,000 receptions, which was more than Torrey Holt and less than Andre Johnson and Reggie Wayne. He had 12,083 receiving yards, which was less than all three of them, understandable. He had 85 total touchdowns, actually 86 if you include his rushing touchdown, which is more than all those other players, and only 4 Pro Bowls and no first-team All-Pros. However, he was a two-time Super Bowl champion and a one-time Super Bowl MVP. So more Super Bowls than the other guys, actually the same as them combined, and 1 Super Bowl MVP, which is a very big mark on someone's career. So there's aspects of where we understand, you know, he didn't have the most receiving yards out of these guys. He did have the most touchdowns. He didn't. And what James will swear by is it turns out to be the Pro Bowls and the All Pros. Why those guys get to be finalists over him.
Yeah, I think that's 100% what it is. That and obviously, and we were trying not to mention this until now, but there is a fairly well-known anti-Steeler bias in the Hall of Fame voting. There are voters who have actually said that they think that there's enough Steelers in the Hall of Fame and they won't vote for any more, which honestly should have qualified them to be removed from it immediately, because you should not have any bias against a single team like that. You can't possibly be fair and just in your voting when that's the case. But nonetheless, there are categories here where Hines is better than the other individuals in his touchdown receptions, which scoring points is pretty dang important in the NFL. It's tough to win games without that.
He was a better blocker than all of them.
Yeah, by far a better blocker than all of them. Andre Johnson was a decent blocker. I'll never forget the time he beat the living piss out of
Finnegan.
Cortland Finnegan, yeah. Cortland Finnegan was a well-known cheap shot artist.
Yep.
He was stealing people's necklaces. He was choking guys instead of blocking them. Andre Johnson just got sick of it one game and just ripped his helmet off and started beating the living crap out of him right in the middle of the field. It was amazing.
Yep. Remember that one like it was yesterday. Yep.
And Cortland Finnegan cleaned his act up after that, and he was out of the league pretty soon after that because really all he had was his dirty play.
Yeah,
he was a good corner, but his dirty play kind of intimidated people, and he made some plays because of it.
Yeah,
but not so much after he got put in his place.
And that was a rivalry game, like that was AFC South teams, Texans and Titans, and they got to see each other a lot, which was always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do believe, I believe personally that Hines will make the finalist list in future years, but his best bet to do so is maybe two of these guys get in now and get the heck out of the way. I think just looking at it briefly, I think a lot of people are going to vote probably Torrey Holt over the other two. That's just my opinion. I don't know that there's one guy with the most impressive numbers. If one of them has the most collective impressive ones, it's probably Reggie Wayne next. But all three of those guys had incredible careers. And as soon as they get out of the way, Hines will be up in that mix. Yep. Assuming nobody else clears the 5 years post playing career and has similar numbers. If so, then Hines could still end up on the outside looking in. But I do believe he was probably in that top 15 or so with the voting.
Yeah.
When he got down to the last 25 guys and only 10 get in, I bet Hines was in that top 15. So he's getting closer and closer, I think, personally. Because when you look at these, none of these guys really overshadow him by a ton.
Nope, not at all. So with that being said, someone that played with Hines Ward for both of his Super Bowl victories, Ben Roethlisberger, our quarterback of the now and the past and probably not the future. With that being said, he did say that Monday Night Football this Monday against the Browns will more than likely be his last game in Pittsburgh, barring a crazy playoff thing that happens where we make it and we're not the seventh seed. I don't see that happening, but yeah.
it pretty much requires Pittsburgh to win the division, which even them getting in, I think, requires them beating both the Browns and Ravens. So it's helpful that these two teams are the ones that are remaining, especially since Pittsburgh has beaten both of them already this season.
Yep.
So it does give you some hope that that can happen. But we also need to see the Bengals lose the final two games in order for it to happen. That's what we're really looking at is let's go whoever the heck the Bengals are playing. I think they got the Chiefs this week. Yes. If I remember correctly.
I think you're
and
right.
Then the last game, I think, is the Browns. Oh, so when it's Browns-Bengals, we need to cheer for the Browns, assuming the Bengals have already lost to the Chiefs, which is a pretty realistic thing this
and
week.
And assuming we beat the Browns.
And assuming we beat the Browns, yes. So if we beat the Browns and the Chiefs beat the Bengals, then it's go Browns over the Bengals, and then the Steelers just got to take care of their own business against the Ravens, and then you're the number four seed, and you will get at least one home playoff game.
Yep, for sure. So
very doable, really, man. Very doable in my book.
Very doable. I think some of the biggest issues is that the players. I don't know. I feel like our as a team are. What's the word I'm looking for? Not motivation, but our like confidence isn't quite there right now as a team.
Yeah, I feel like the best bet for this team to do well is for them to rally around the fact that their Hall of Fame quarterback is about to retire. He basically said it without saying it.
Yeah,
that all signs point towards him retiring at the end of the season. You have to feel like this. If this doesn't motivate you as a teammate of Ben Roethlisberger's, then nothing really is going to motivate you.
Yeah.
So it'll to me, it's going to show the character of a lot of these guys, especially the young guys. What are you made of? Are you still going to go out there and signal a first down in somebody's face? Are you still going to do stupid penalties that are all after the play, letting your emotions get the best of you? Are you going to go out there and give 110%? Are you going to go as a wide receiver and block for your running back instead of standing around? Because since Juju Smith-Schuster went out with an injury and was lost for the season, let's be honest, these wide receivers don't block anywhere near as well as Juju does.
No.
Juju owned people, and he would move the sticks and he'd move piles. And he recovered so many fumbles in his career because he was always around the pile, always trying to help the running back or whoever the heck had the ball down the field.
Yep.
And you don't get that many fumble recoveries as a wide receiver unless you're giving 110%. I think the Steelers wide receiver room is greatly missing his leadership and his presence on the field right now, personally.
And I don't think it's leadership in the sense of like a vocal leader. How you would normally view it. It's
his play.
It's his play and it's his attitude. Towards most of it, Juju isn't like it's a bad comparison, but Claypool. I think Claypool is still more immature than Juju is currently.
100%. Like, I feel like Claypool is kind of what people were trying to paint Juju as.
Yeah.
You know, right now, Chase can grow out of this. Chase can develop. He can mature, and he can still turn into an excellent wide receiver. He's got all the physical tools to do so. But people were trying to paint Juju as this jerk wide receiver who's all me, all me. Meanwhile, all he was doing when he wasn't working out in the offseason was he's either playing video games, which has nothing to do with him being a bad guy at all,
nope.
Or going and donating to charities and spending his time with people that are fans and throwing massive water gun fights and water balloon fights and pillow fights
that
and
was
like
2 years
doing all
ago.
Of this
yeah.
stuff in the community. Juju did a ton for the community and he's still really active on Steelers.com. They're using him to interview a lot of players and do a lot of things. And I feel like they're trying to keep him in the building and keep him with that sense of belonging to that organization in an attempt to try to bring him back in future years. And I really think it would be a good idea, yep. personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could still have someone in there be a number one wide receiver. I think we could still find somebody who's a more natural number one than him. But he is phenomenal at the things that he does do and the things he does well. So now,
when you look at the wide receiver room too right now, you're always talking about who's the veteran leader in a room. Well, your most veteran guy in the room with Juju out is Deontay Johnson with 3 years and James Washington with 4. And Washington's riding a pine, so who in the world's listening to him if he tells him something?
No,
You know, so Deontay's basically the veteran leader in the room, and he's finishing up his third year and struggled with drops last year. And sometimes looks like he doesn't want to be on the field. So,
yep. So at this point, it's time to go ahead and. You have something.
No, there's one more here. Wide receiver Darius Shepherd was signed to the practice squad.
Yep,
so this, again, is in conjunction kind of with the Rico Bussey thing. We lost basically all the wide receivers that were on the practice squad to COVID. So this fills out the depth a little bit more there and brings that into the picture. But, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's talk this upcoming game here against the Browns, and most specifically the Cleveland Browns roster and the state of it right now.
Yep.
Because there's some very important injuries that are going to drastically impact this game.
Yeah, so first off, we always start offensive line. My cat is being crazy right now. Always start offensive side of the ball, not exactly offensive line. Quarterback Baker Mayfield, we all know about him. He has been having a rough couple games for sure, to say the least.
And it seems to have everything to do with him playing through injuries.
Correct.
Like, realistically, Baker Mayfield's not 100%, and I think that has a lot to do with why there's so many interceptions, turnovers, and bad throws going on right now. But that doesn't change the fact that Pittsburgh still has to play him. I'm not making excuses for him. Because when the guy's healthy, he really does play very well most of the time.
Yeah.
But I am not disappointed by the fact that his left shoulder is still all wrapped up like that, because it's clearly affecting his play. And there's no way he's going to pull himself out of the game. And it doesn't look like Coach Stefanski is going to pull him out either.
Nope.
He'll just let him play through it as long as he's not too physically injured to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
I honestly am kind of happy that we're playing against Baker Mayfield, because he's such a high variance guy. If you can take advantage of the low points in his game, you can have yourself a nice defensive game.
Very much so. Running back Nick Chubb, always a danger Good. To go off. Kareem Hunt is out of the game.
Thank goodness, because he's a Steeler killer.
Yeah. Fullback Andy
Janovich.
I believe he's injured right now, or at least was limited practice, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there.
I'll tell you in a second.
That's fine. I'll go over wide receivers while you're looking that up.
Shoulder injury, full participant on Thursday.
Okay, so full. Wide receivers, Jarvis Landry, and then they have Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashard Higgins, and Anthony Schwartz. We talked about these guys last time. They're all big threats. They can all go off and have a good game for sure.
Right now, Donovan Peoples-Jones going through some serious issues with his hands, dropping a lot of passes.
Great.
So it's important that you stay close, because if that ball bounces off his hands, take advantage of it. We got some guys that are being real good with that right now. I believe that's the kind of thing that Cam Sutton or Akilah Witherspoon will take full advantage of and get themselves an interception if he does that in this game. Jarvis Landry, I worry about the most of this group, not because he's the most explosive, because I do feel that there's a decent chance they're going to put him in the slot. And with Arthur Maulette out, that probably puts Trey Norwood up at the slot. It's going to be a real difficult matchup for the rookie.
Very much so. Then you look at the tight end room, Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Harrison Bryant. Very, very deep in the tight end room. David Njoku was a starter for them for a few years. We talked about that last time. And then you look at the offensive line from left to right. Jedrick Wills Jr., Joel Bitonio, J.C. Treader, Wyatt Teller, James Hudson III. I believe two or three of these guys were Pro Bowlers this year. So if that goes to tell you how good this offensive line is, I'm 90% sure J.C. Treader and Joel Bitonio both are for sure in the Pro Bowl.
It was Bitonio and Teller winning.
Bitonio and Teller, excuse me.
Yeah, Treader did not go in this year. Treader's also dealing with an injury. There's a possibility that he will not play. If he doesn't, it's sixth-round pick Nick Harris, which is a guy with shorter arms and a smaller center. Could be pushed around, kind of like our starting center Kendrick Green gets pushed around. So hopefully J.C. Treader will not be able to go in this game. And then the right tackle, James Hudson, that's also an opportunity there for TJ. Hopefully he can clean that up. Last week, Jedrick Wells was not able to play, and Joel Bitonio pushed out the left tackle. If for some reason that happens again this week, this is a matchup that Alex Highsmith can absolutely take advantage of, because Bitonio doesn't have great length. He struggles out there with speed guys, and that's something that we could definitely take advantage of with Alex Highsmith's athletic ability.
Absolutely. You want to start with this defense for me?
Yeah, let's go to the defensive side. The first guy anybody's going to want to talk about is Myles Garrett. He is dealing with a groin injury. Had a very unproductive game last week, had one assist, and that was his entire stat line. But the thing with Myles Garrett is they move him around based off of matchups. He doesn't stay in one place like TJ Watt does. TJ lines up off ball in the middle sometimes, but usually only in goal line situations to try to stop that offensive line from pushing our defensive line back. And that's just because we don't have our starting defensive linemen and they can't hold up to it.
Yep.
So TJ tries to help out in that manner. He doesn't pass rush from the middle or both sides. He pretty much only pass rushes from the left. Myles will line up against your weakest offensive player. That's why he has so much production. He's a very good defensive lineman, a very good pass rusher, don't get me wrong, but they move him around to give him easy matchups. Opposite side, Jadeveon Clowney has had a better year than probably most expected. His athleticism is still there, but it doesn't seem as though he's producing with a high amount of numbers as far as sacks, tackles for loss, that sort of thing. Interior defensive line, the starters are Malik Jackson and Malik McDowell, but Malik Jackson is injured right now, and I do not believe he's going to be healthy enough to go in this game. So look for the backups, Jordan Elliott and Sheldon Day, also Tommy Togiai, to get a decent amount of reps inside there. So it's an opportunity if Pittsburgh starts the correct guys this week, and it looks like maybe Kendrick Green won't be able to go. He was not a participant in practice on Thursday with that calf injury. So we might get J.C. Hassenhauer, which really might help out as far as the interior offensive line for Pittsburgh, especially if we also get Dotson back.
Yep.
The off-ball linebackers for the Browns, we've got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who missed Thursday's practice with an illness. So we'll see where that goes. If that's COVID-related, he'll have to be tested if he missed with an illness.
Yep.
If he goes on the COVID list, we won't have to deal with him. Anthony Walker, their middle linebacker, who's actually looked pretty good this year, and then Sione Takitaki, their strong side linebacker. So those are the starters. If any of them don't go, look for Mac Wilson to get a decent amount of playing time in that group. But I think your biggest threat there is going to be Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but look for Anthony Walker to be all over the place because he pretty much has been all year.
Absolutely. And then you got the cornerbacks and the safeties, Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, Greedy Williams, Troy Hill. However, what are you saying?
Future Pittsburgh Steeler Denzel Ward.
Future Pittsburgh Steeler, from what James says.
I've been saying it for a year. I'm sticking to it.
The cornerback room's pretty decent there. And then you also have the safeties, Ronnie Harrison Jr., backed up by Grant Delpit, and then John Johnson the third on the free safety side. Again, this secondary is pretty decent for sure.
I think John Johnson's out too.
That would be phenomenal.
Hamstring injury and did not participate in practice, so he's probably out. The backup will be in there at safety, which is tremendous for Pittsburgh. Perfect. Also, Ronnie Harrison has an ankle. He was a full participant in practice, so he'll probably play. But that's good news. Because John Johnson, definitely a very good safety. So I would imagine Grant Delpit, even though he's listed as the backup strong safety, will probably start at free safety.
Yep. Like it. Like it a lot.
Special teams guys.
Punter, Dustin Colquitt. Kicker, Chase McLaughlin. Holders, also Dustin Colquitt. Kick return is Anthony Schwartz. Punt return is Demetric Felton, the running back. And then long snapper, Charlie Hewlett. There you go. That's going to do it.
As long snappers are people, too.
Stop. All right, quick. Three keys to success against the Browns. You or me?
You can go first. I'll go second today.
All right. So three keys to success. Fluster Baker Mayfield. Get him to throw bad passes that force turnovers. Second thing, get that offensive line moving. Create holes for Najee Harris. Run the ball. Do not rely on Ben's arms. Third and last thing, win the battle for field position. I have never talked about this one as far as a key to success against the team, but we have to force Cleveland into having to go the entire length of the field, and we need to give our offense the benefit of starting at the 30 or 40 yard line. They've been struggling recently to move the ball. Let's get them a little bit of a head start. Maybe we win the game with freaking four field goals. Who knows? So those are my three takeaways or keys to success. Excuse me. I always say takeaways, keys to success.
Yeah. Yeah, so the injuries for the Steelers right now, it's super important that we get Pat Freiermuth and Chris Wormley back, and it looks like both will be back this week. If we get Kevin Dotson back as well, I really like our chances in this game. But my keys don't have anything to do with that, although I do believe it's extremely important getting those individuals back. Okay. Number one, stop Nick Chubb. They did a great job on it in the first matchup. So you need to limit his production in this game. If he goes off for 140 yards or something, expected to be a loss for Pittsburgh. Number two, capitalize on the turnovers with touchdowns, not just field goals. So in this game, I do expect Baker to turn the ball over, whether it's fumbles, whether it's interceptions. I would expect probably at least two turnovers. Pittsburgh needs to capitalize on it and not just go 1-2-3 punt or 1-2-3 55-yard field goal. We need to actually move the ball, get some touchdowns, take advantage, and take momentum in the game when these turnovers do happen. Number three, this is directed towards you, offensive line. Give Ben time to throw. Our first matchup was a tough one for Dan Moore Jr. He's a more experienced guy now. He will probably have Myles Garrett going against him this entire game. Myles can't beat you with his speed up the field and turn around because of his groin injury. So expect bull rushes over and over and over and set for it. Give him some help. Make sure you shade guys to his side. Make sure Najee can chip and help out. Pat Freiermuth, have him chip. Whatever you got to do to help Dan Moore out. I think the rest of the line I'm not so worried about. You give me Chukwuma Okorafor one-on-one against Clowney, and I think he gives us a stalemate over there. But the pressure really could come from Ben's weak side big time if Myles Garrett has healed up with that groin injury. If he hasn't, Ben could have time to throw, and I think Ben's really going to try to put a big performance together, knowing that this could be his last game in Heinz Field.
Another 500-yard passing game?
Highly motivated. I think he is highly motivated for this game. We could see some really big numbers, which is important because he's what? Like, I want to say five touchdowns short of Dan Marino, six of Phillip Rivers, or it's 4 and 5.
I think it's 5 and 6, I think.
Yeah, so he needs to put some big numbers up for us to see that happen here. I think the potential is absolutely there. I think he's going to ball out as hard as he possibly can these final two regular season games. But most importantly, starting here against the Browns.
Absolutely. So we're going to try doing something a little different this week, guys. We're going to add a little outro, but make sure you stick around for a little thing after that, for sure.
So that wraps up today's show. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. This is James signing out for Cody.
Peace. What is up, guys? We cannot thank you guys enough for the support throughout this first 3 years, almost three complete years of our Steelers by the Lake podcast. We couldn't do this stuff without you. We would be doing it, but it would be to nobody. We wouldn't be as motivated. We wouldn't be as excited. So big cheers to you guys. Thank you for the 2021. And we look forward to being here with you for 2022.
Absolutely. Really appreciate everything. The amount of support we've seen from all the different countries, all the different states in the United States. The download numbers have been tremendous, and we really appreciate all the support you guys show us. In any way, you know, whether it be the 5-star reviews, which we've gotten more than we probably thought we ever would, or just liking and sharing on an episode. Means the world to us every time. You guys are the best.
Absolutely. So make sure you guys reach out to us on any social media platform if you want to talk, if you have questions, if you even want to be a guest on the show. We'd love to talk to you and see what that could be possibly look like. So be safe out there tonight as it is the New Year. Celebrate with your loved ones and stay safe.